The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Now there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. There is in Jerusalem at the Sheep Gate a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, with five porticos. In these lay a large number of ill, blind, lame, and crippled. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been ill for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I'm on my way, someone else gets down there before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your mat and walk." Immediately the man became well, took up his mat and walked. Now that day was a Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who was cured, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to carry your mat." He answered them, "The man who made me well told me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who told you, 'Take it up and walk'?" The man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away since there was a crowd there. After this, Jesus found him in the temple area and said to him, "Look, you are well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went and told the Jews that Jesus was the one who had made him well. Therefore, the Jews began to persecute Jesus because he did this on the Sabbath. The Gospel of the Lord. Now, the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke are written to bring people to faith in Christ who have not believed before, whether they were Jew or Gentile. But the Gospel of John is different. The Gospel of John is written for people who already believe, but who want to believe more deeply. Now that's you. And I bring this up because you're going to hear from the Gospel of John at Mass almost exclusively for the next 2 months. So just keep that in mind. John was written for people who already believe, but who want to believe more deeply. Now, today we're going to consider just one obstacle that stands in our way of believing more deeply. And it's astonishingly, scandalously simple. And that is, on many people's part, it's simply a lack of effort. Now, don't get me wrong, moral decisions are very complicated and they're polyvalent and, you know, there's a lot going on in people's histories and psychology and things like that. But all that aside, consider the truth in the depths of your own soul in prayer and tell me if this isn't true. Our problem is not a lack of knowledge. In very many cases, what keeps us from coming closer to Christ is simply a lack of effort. There was a fascinating study a bunch of years ago by a Yale psychologist. His name was Paul Bloom. And he did research on small children to figure out their sense of moral right and wrong. And he wrote it all together in an article with a rather catchy title. It was called, "Do Babies Know Right from Wrong?" And these were his conclusions. Listen to this. He said that in 80% of the cases, three-month-old children could tell the difference between good and evil in basic moral decisions. Not three-year-old children, three-month-old children could tell the basic difference between good and evil. Our problem is not a lack of knowledge, but our problem is definitely a lack of effort. And that brings us to our little story here. The story of the man lying by the pool of Bethesda. And it was said that there was this miraculous healing pool in Bethesda, and the waters would be stirred up. It was said they were stirred up by the hand of an angel. And if you could get into the water while the water was stirred, you'd be healed of your affliction. And whether that's true or not, we're just going to set that aside. And focus rather on the fact that the man has been sitting by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years with his affliction. And Jesus asks him, "Do you want to be well?" And implied in that question is, you know, he'd been sitting there for 38 years. That's a long time to say that he's had no chance to get into the pool. Because the fact of the matter is that man by the pool is you and me. We haven't come to the healing, not because we haven't had the opportunity, but because somewhere along the line, we've become complacent. We've become comfortable with our faults or sins. The number 38 is an interesting Old Testament number. 38 was the number of years that the Israelite people wandered in the desert before they came to the Promised Land. And you say, wait a minute, I could have sworn I learned in my Sunday school that the Israelites wandered for 40 years in the desert. And they did. It's just for the first 2 years, they lived at the base of Mount Sinai. And then Moses led them directly to the edge of the Promised Land, and he said to the Israelite people, now go take the Promised Land, it's yours. God himself will fight for you. And they peered over the edge of the cliffs of the Promised Land, and there they saw a race of giants inhabiting the Promised Land, and they said, we can't take on these giants. They're so much bigger than we are. We can never win. And Moses said, trust in the Lord and go. The land is yours. And the people didn't believe, and they didn't try. And as a punishment, they wandered in the desert for 38 more years, one entire generation. Now, somewhere in your life, there's a pool, like this pool of Bethesda. And you're lying by it because you're not putting forth the effort or the faith that it takes to be healed. And our Lord's question to this man by the pool is his question to you. Do you want to be well? Do you want to? Just yesterday I was reading this quotation about the state of the church today, and it was lamenting the lack of effort on the part of the people in the church, and it said the problem with the church today is that people aren't trying, that they're becoming complacent, that they're becoming lazy and indifferent and cold. And as I read the little quotation, I said, yeah, that's the church today. Lazy, indifferent, cold. That's the church today. And then at the end, it said the quote was attributed to St. Augustine, who was writing in the 4th century. So this is nothing new. It's nothing new in the church, and it's nothing new in our lives. But if you want to have a prayer intention here for the remaining weeks of Lent, let it be this. Here Jesus asked you the question that he asked this man here in the gospel. Do you want to be well? And let's answer him with an unqualified yes and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. Patrick, pray for us.